Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We trust you got your kids off to school if they're of that age. And we welcome you to our good, bad, and crazy news for conservatives. We start with the good. And Jim, for decades and decades, the Graham family has run the Washington Post and a whole variety of leadership there. Catherine Graham, perhaps the most famous publisher of the Washington Post. But the family has announced that as of October 1st, they're no longer going to be in charge. There was a big shakeup there last year when Amazon founder Jeff Bezos bought the Post. Now the granddaughter of Catherine Graham says she is stepping down, and she will be replaced by Fred Ryan, who worked for President Reagan and helped to found the Politico website, politico.com, which is not exactly a staunch conservatism, but on many of the stories, they do approach it in a fairly objective way. So by conservatives looking at the news standards, it's definitely a step in the right direction.
As you speak, I can hear listeners groaning, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, Politico is not objective, and by certainly it's not always what conservatives want to read or hear. But to their credit, I think it's safe to say they are not always predictably left-wing. I think it was Ben Smith, who used to work at Politico, described the job of a good political journalist being to be like a fight promoter. And so the Politico stories are always like, you know, massive infighting, you know, it's always chaos. There's always, you know, deep rifts. And then you're reading the paper and you're like, oh, these Tea Party groups that are allegedly furious with the party, I've never heard about these people. But nonetheless, I think it's safe to say you look at Fred Ryan and his career. There are not a lot of diehard liberals who begin by working in President Reagan's White House. One of the youngest staffers to be named assistant to the President of the United States, and he worked as chief of staff for President Reagan after he left office in 1989. Even if he is, you know, whether or not you characterize him as conservative, this man is not a leftist. And that's actually, that counts as a win for us. There's also an argument that people have said that Jeff Bezos leans in a more libertarian direction. We've seen a couple other, you know, good hires over there. I don't need the Washington Post to be conservative, and I think we on the right would be kind of setting the bar unrealistically high for expecting that. I just need the Washington Post to not be monolithically liberal, get past the Ezra Klein days, now that Ezra Klein is writing Vox and getting the Tony Soprano story wrong and things like that. The Post has gotten to be a somewhat more interesting paper since Jeff Bezos came along, and maybe this is another step in the right direction. It seems to be upsetting all the right people on the other side, Greg. So I think, you know, it remains to be seen. I think there's a very, you know, very much dispute how much the publisher sets the tone for the newspaper. But it definitely seems like, the, you know, unlike a lot of other papers that are kind of withering away, the Post is being kind of energetic and, like I said, not predictably liberal. And you know, hopefully it'll be kind of good news for us and better coverage for everybody in the D.C. area.
Yeah, a few steps closer to honest, objective reporting would be very welcome from the Post. So on to the bad martini. And Jim, stop me if you've heard this before. Brian Ross, the investigative correspondent over at ABC, talking on ABC News World News Tonight about two major concerns now again about America's homeland security.
As of today, U.S. authorities are investigating the whereabouts of more than 6,000 foreign nationals who arrived in the U.S. on student visas and have vanished, their intentions unknown. That's just what happened with the 9/11 hijacker who flew the passenger jet into the Pentagon. And authorities say the problem continues.
It's been pointed out over and over and over again. And the fact that nobody's done anything about it yet, that's a very dangerous thing for all of us.
In the wake of the 9/11 attacks, there were also calls for tighter rules and FAA approval for U.S. flight schools that train foreign students. But in the most recent audit, more than a third of the flight schools accepting foreign students still had not been certified by the FAA.
And the other voice you heard in there was Tom Kane, who was head of the 9/11 Commission. So, Jim, 13 years later, almost on the exact anniversary, we find out there's still many of the same problems that we had leading up to that horrific day.
Stunning and disappointing that this long after 9/11, something that was such a key element of that would not get addressed in this much time. Kind of appalling. Our, you know, 6,000 of those students. Look, you know, the good news is that most of them probably aren't terrorists, right, Greg?
Hopefully not.
But that you know that any one of them being a terrorist could be a big problem for any of us. I guess that if we want a bit of a silver lining to this bad martini, Greg, the good news is that Ross has not cross-checked this list of missing students with Tea Party groups. and instantly blame the Tea Party for anything terrible going on. So there you go.
That is true. For those who don't know this story, that was in the wake of the Colorado movie theater shooting. He found out the name, as we all did when the name was released, and he immediately did a Google search and found out that there was someone in Colorado with the same name of James Holmes, that very unique name, and said, you know, we're not having no idea whether or not this is the same James Holmes or not. We're just throwing it out there.
Pretty decent reporter on the national security beat, and that was kind of a colossal brain fart on his end. So we'll tweak him a little bit and then move on. I really hope this reporting is wrong, but I have a suspicion he's probably correct on how bad the government is keeping track of these foreign students.
Yeah, so many different shadows of 9/11. Those two, certainly, and as well as the rise of radicalism in the Middle East and beyond. All right, on to the crazy martini. Speaking of foreign policy, this is from USA Today. Against a backdrop of the start of fledgling peace talks over Ukraine, a top Kremlin aide accused European Union Commission President José Manuel Barroso Tuesday of breaching diplomatic confidentiality and of taking words out of context by quoting President Vladimir Putin as saying he could be in Kiev within 2 weeks if he wanted. He was accused of violating diplomatic practices to speak publicly about a private conversation. If that was really done, it looks not worthy of a serious political figure. Essentially, Barroso was quoting his conversation with Putin to figures at the European Union. Jim, you know, just spitballing Vladimir Putin, just randomly estimating how long it would take him to conquer the capital of the Ukraine. Nothing to worry about. I'm sure he hasn't looked into it at all.
I'm just not even sure where to begin, Greg, because you think about this, it's like, you know, well, look, I could be in 2 weeks in a nice way. What's the context in which that's not considered menacing and frightening and unnerving and things like that? Two, this idea of Putin is now the hurt party here, of hey, when I threaten you in private, pal, that's supposed to stay between you and me, okay? You know, Vladimir Putin really feels betrayed here, and I guess the only possible way he can deal with those hurt feelings is by taking over the rest of Ukraine. I guess it's good news that they're saying, oh no, we were joking, getting kind of a Joe Pesci and Goodfellas vibe from Putin these days, this sense of like, it's funny, real funny, you know, this nagging feeling that he's saying it, he doesn't mean it, but that seems like a classic case of saber rattling on the part of Putin and his government. So hopefully it really is just a joke taken out of context, but you don't joke about invasion when you have a whole bunch of troops, you know, right on the border and occasionally crossing over into Ukraine. I suppose next to Kate Upton, Vladimir Putin must feel like his privacy has really been violated.
I guess so. Jim, yeah. Have a good day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Wednesday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Have a great day, everyone. Yeah.